One.
What's up, everybody? We're live from the 2019 National in Chicago, and we're honored to have the great Ty Wilson from BreakerCulture.com hanging out with us, man. How you doing, Ty?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I love the your podcast is one of my favorites, man. It's always a great download. It was a great one that you just did with Chad from Firehand. It was a really good, you know, especially for me being, you know, starting in those days, hearing about that nostalgia, you know, brought me back, right back to those times, man.
Yeah, he was amazing.
Yeah.
Some guys, you ask one question, and 20 minutes later, he's gone through a whole ring.
Yeah.
And you just sit back and you're taking notes. He was one of those guys.
Definitely. I would say I love your interview and your follow-up questions and stuff and how you keep the conversation going. What was your kind of your inspiration when you started doing podcasts? What was like the podcast you listened to, like out of any of them?
That's a good question. I would say I listen to a lot of sports podcasts. The 30 for 30s I love. I don't know if you guys listen to those.
Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff. I listen to a lot of the Gary Vee stuff, honestly.
Yeah.
You can't listen to that stuff around kids.
Right, exactly. You're F-bomb.
Yeah, you know? Right. You need a kick in the butt, though. That's when you can listen to Gary Vee.
Yeah, exactly, man. So we know you promote B-Dub's Coffee. I've bought a couple bags, man. Tell us about how that all got started, dude.
You know, it's one of those things. I don't know about you guys, but when I do something, like I dabble in it, and all of a sudden I'm 1,000% in it.
Yeah.
And this is one of those things where someone's like, hey, you want to learn how to roast coffee? And I was like, yeah, why not? And then $20,000 later, after buying an industrial roaster for my basement, and the FDA showing up saying, hey, you can't just like sell this stuff, you have to actually like get a license for this. I had to redo my garage and all kinds of stuff, and I just kind of evolved into me roasting and learning how to do coffee.
How many cups of coffee do you drink a day?
Oh, you know, I actually don't drink that much. I probably drink a cup or two.
Nice.
Unless I'm traveling one day trips to Chicago, and then you go four cups. And
right.
So what's the process? How long does it take to roast a batch?
Yeah, so if you roast like on a 6-pound roaster, you can roast a whole batch in about 15 minutes.
Okay,
so cool. That's about 8 bags of coffee.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, nice. I mean, when I got I think you guys sent me an extra bag. I think I ordered one. I got two bags, and the scent, like right out of the bag, was like, oh my god, I've never smelt, you know, the beans like that, you know. So
that's right.
And I actually didn't have I thought I had one. I didn't have a grinder, you know. So I went and bought one and stuff. And it you know, doing the bean fresh coffee like that makes a big difference, man.
It makes a huge difference for sure. People don't realize when you drink coffee 2 days after you roast it, night and day from buying something that's been roasted 3 months over there at Starbucks.
Right. And you know, before we get into sports car talk, where can they find, what's the website they can grab those bags of coffee at?
Yeah, go to Dubs Coffee, dubbscoffee.com.
Nice. That's easy to remember.
That's right.
So is it Dubs because of the, your last name?
Nice work. No one ever catches that. I'm like, W Dubs.
Yeah.
My nickname growing up was T Dubs.
Gotcha.
So that's why I roll with Dubs.
I think it helps with us being Warrior fans. So we hear it all the time. So I think it clicked in my head right away.
That's
so
true, man. I thought for years, man, well, how do I form a partnership with those guys?
Right.
I just need $10 million.
Right. Get a hold of Joe Lacob and the owners there. So that would be an awesome to get in the new arena and Chase have the Dubs Coffee. They'd be like, partnership made in heaven.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
You know, you just recently had an article. You guys have you guys got to check out the site BreakerCulture.com. They have market analysis. So I mean, they go way more in depth than us just spouting off stuff on our podcast. So you did a 2018 football breakdown.
Yeah.
And so let's get into that. There was some market movers and stuff like that. So what did you notice when you're doing the analysis with that?
First thing I noticed was how crazy popular football still is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always joke, like, football cards like the fourth best market.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, in the last year for 2018, we had 660,000 cards sold. Last year.
Wow.
Like $15 million in revenue for just 2018 singles on eBay.
Wow.
You think you multiply that out by all the other sports and all the other years, and it's like, this is a multi-billion-dollar industry we're in.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me.
What do you think has changed with football? Do you think it's the emergence of the two, you know, rookie quarterbacks over the last 2 years, meaning, you know, Mahomes and Mayfield? Do you think that's helped it, or do you just think that just more eyeballs are on football?
I think just more money in general is in the market.
Yeah.
I think people don't have enough to buy. Like, everything's gone so quick. Breakers, I mean, you guys run out of product just as much as hobby shops do, right? They can't get their hands on stuff. I think it's just a matter of there's just nothing to spend money on.
Yeah.
They go all in.
Right, right. When you did the market analysis, were you breaking down products, or were you breaking down singles mainly?
Yeah, for that report, I did both. I did. I looked at factory costs, and then I looked at what prices are. Excuse me for.
That's me all day, so I understand.
Yeah, right. Never eat a Snickers bar right before you log in. And then I looked at just what the current prices are for boxes, and obviously look at the singles prices and all that stuff. So yeah, it's when you put it all together, it's pretty compelling.
Yeah,
you know, you start to see stuff, and you're like, dang, some of these products actually aren't that good.
Right.
Some of them are really good.
Yeah. Was there one? I'm putting you on the spot here. What was the one that went down? Was there one that went down? What was the worst one as far as where it started and where it ended?
Yeah, on that report, and I mentioned this in the video, what surprised me was Flawless Football was just so low on the list and overall ranking. It was 40th of 49 when it comes to like all the different, you know, subcategories we ranked it in.
Huh.
You just think of like a high-end product like that, it's an automatic win.
Right.
It's not always the case.
Right, right. Well, I think Flawless Football is still trying to find its home. I mean, they have the Shield Autos.
It's true.
But the RPAs are, you know, sticking with NT. So it's, you know, it's trying to find its zone. And at that price point, sometimes it can be a little scary.
Well, where would you rank the football RPAs? Well, you basically NT Immaculate.
Mm.
And then maybe Flawless or even Encased.
Yeah, it's tough.
Because Encased have like the hats off and like the crazy like patches and stuff like that. So those kind of separate themselves. But and also, where would you put the Prism Silver Rookies? We have not seen it come over from basketball into football.
Yeah.
And there's actually less silver prisms in football than there are in basketball. So why is that? Why do you think that is, Doug?
You know, I think it's going to take a little while for football collectors to catch on to the silver prisms, and maybe, you know, I haven't looked at prices. You probably have, but I think there might be a buy opportunity on some of these guys.
No, I think it is for sure.
I think it is 100%. I think last time we had you on the podcast, Prism had just come out.
Right,
we were talking about that. This is an opportunity to buy up. It's going to come. It's going to come around.
Yeah, absolutely. So what was the best mover of what was the number one in those?
Number one was Contenders.
Yeah,
as expected. Right. It was the king across the board. But the Prisms, the Optics, all those are pretty good performers. Panini One surprised me. Panini One was a number four on the list. When you look at the data, it was pretty impressive. I didn't even think twice about Panini One until I saw on the list. Well, what did you guys think about Panini One when you ripped it this year?
You know, when we saw the original solicitation, I think we were looking at it going, I don't see the value for the price per box and per case. I'm all, it could be a bloodbath for everybody involved.
Right.
But the cards came out, they looked amazing, and the secondary market actually took really well to them. So we loved it. So
yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Here's a crazy stat for you. Out of all 49 that we had from last year, only two are lower than they were when they released in terms of the wax costs.
Jeez.
Every single product, and those two are Leaf. So every Panini football product went up since its release.
Crazy. That is nuts. Yeah, I didn't even think about that because I did some market data back in 12 and 13, and I think there was only like five of them out of the 40 that were up.
Right.
So everything was down in those years. So, I mean, we are definitely in this, you know, market that's just still booming. I mean, what do you think? How many more years do we have? I mean, it's obviously hard to speculate, but do you think we just keep rolling?
I don't think we keep rolling. I think something's going to happen. I think something's got to happen,
yeah,
honestly.
Right?
I don't think we're going to have enough buyers to catch up with as many sellers we have. Yeah. All it takes is for Zion Williamson to blow his ACL out, and we're going to have a lot of very upset investors.
I say this every year with every category. We're at the mercy of the rookie class. If the rookie class does not perform, then that category is probably not going to perform. It's pretty much black and white. If Kyler doesn't have a good year, and Haskins doesn't have a good year, and Jacobs doesn't play, or Daniel Jones, it could be tough in football. Football could be not 2013 bad, but it can be 15 wasn't that great. It was like Winston and Mariota, and I think Gurley as well. Was Gurley 15?
Yeah, Gurley was 15.
Yeah. So, but still, I mean, you could still get 15 stuff, no problem.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on this upcoming rookie class for football?
Not a huge fan.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a little bit of a homer because I like Drew Lock.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I don't know. Not a huge fan of Kyler Murray. He's not a really solid running back. Saquon Barkley was huge last year.
Right.
You know, he kind of just carried the
kind of a generational running back. Yeah. Because that was funny. We were talking about it all year. Sell Saquon. Because, like, running backs don't hold their value. I mean, Adrian Peterson was, like, the last of the Mohicans in a sense where he, you know, he was the last big running back to sell because I was doing the stats on Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell had, like, better stats than any running back in history based on yardage, you know, compared to anybody. And his cards sell for nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, is Saquon going to be Le'Veon Bell's stats? Probably not. But, I mean, it is a different market. But I think Saquon's got that likability where Le'Veon didn't. But, yeah, I don't see anybody – I don't see Josh Jacobs being Saquon. But, I mean, we do have, you know, Daniel Jones, you don't know. I think there's a lot of toss-up where there's last year we had, you know, Baker, we had Saquon, and those were guys that we knew were solid.
Yep.
So, I mean, whether or not, you know, 2 weeks into the season we've got some guys that are killing it, you know.
But what are you doing right now with Baker? You buying or selling?
Man.
I mean, I know how much you love Baker.
Sell.
Yeah, probably sell.
I mean, oh, I'm surprised, Doug. Like, you'd be like, buy. I would sell right
now.
It's
so risky. I mean, you say the same thing last year with Mahomes, though, right? And then now look at his prices. But, you know, Mayfield broke the rookie record in touchdowns. He's got a better team around him this year. But can he emulate it, or does he hit a sophomore slump? What, nine out of ten times these guys go in sophomore slumps, right? So, you know, the safe bet's probably to sell now.
Yeah. I think of football in general. Like, unless it's a Tom Brady or a retired Hall of Famer, it's just incredibly risky in football.
Right, it is.
100%. It's just a bad investment. It just is. The numbers show it, and I think our guts show it too.
Right. Well, what was your favorite set last year in football?
In football, I would go... That's a good question. I'd probably go Optic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for Optic. I like Optic a lot.
Just the regular Optic?
The regular Donis Optic. I love, like, the velocities and all
the
parallels you get out of certain retail and... Yeah,
I think I prefer that over Prism as well. With the, you know, because Prism, really? Prism comes out. Or, well, Prism, the autos, because the Prisms usually are, you know, some of them are stickers as opposed to the Optics you're getting, you know, on card autos. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong, right? Prism is mostly stickers still.
Correct.
Yep. So Optic, more cleaner on the eyes. You know, unfortunately, the guy from the Steelers, they, you know, had a little mushroom head on the photo, but, you know, other than that, I think it was a good set. So we gotta get a little wacky here on Friday. So,
by the way, this is a great view.
Yeah,
I mean, seriously, you see everything.
See everything going down. Yeah. So if you guys don't know that are watching the show, we're actually at the Breaker Pavilion. I think there's definitely more traffic out in the main floor, but we're getting some decent traffic in the Breaker Pavilion. So
has this been the normal flow, or was it pretty crazy?
It's been about the normal flow. I mean, definitely more foot traffic today out there than I think there was yesterday. But I mean, it was busy on Wednesday. When before the show even opened, I was like, where are all these people coming from?
Dirty
the show doesn't open until 4:00. It was 2:00. It was packed out there. So it was just all dealers get done. They got done setting up their booth, and then it just hit up everybody else's booth.
Wow.
So,
yeah, there was guys that were, their booths were sold on Wednesday.
Yep.
Like somebody just, you know, there's a couple guys that just buy booths. Like, I want everything. How much?
No.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I heard there was a couple dealers that got bought out before the show started.
I need to find one of those guys.
I know, right? Get them on the show.
These guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I heard from multiple people, that these guys just, you know, they're probably out here enjoying the National rather than trying to sell all weekend, right?
So they're beat up in a parking lot somewhere.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, like the wad of cash. So, which reminds me of a funny story that we were talking about the other day. We were at Cleveland. This is non-sports card related, but we were at the Cleveland National last year. And we were at a casino, and there was a guy that must have won a jackpot. And if I could guess, he probably had $70,000 in cash. So they actually counted it all out by the thousands while everybody was in line waiting to cash out their money. So this guy had like a target on him.
And they had one person working the cashier. So everybody who was in line was just waiting for him. And they're just like, thousands of dollars just piling,
like, not
it
taking
up.
Him to a back room, like, or something, keeping it away from everybody.
And this dude had like, he had like cargo shorts or something, so he just had a bunch of pockets, and he was just grabbing hundreds and shoving them into pockets.
My goodness.
And I'm like, dude, this guy is gonna get jacked. And I mean, we're in like downtown Cleveland. You walk out, it's like not the best area ever.
Yeah, you got a lot of riffraff going on.
Dude, this is, somebody needs to like hire this guy security so he can get home, or
yeah,
call him an Uber or something.
But you reminded me of that about, you know, people having money walking around here. You know, you know there is, you always got to watch your back, you know.
That's so right. Well, it's funny seeing the different briefcases people carry. You see some guys got like chains wrapped around it.
Yep.
Leather black. It's like, you know, something legit in that.
Yep. Yeah, we got. I want to see somebody with that, like a handcuff, you know, briefcase.
Ocean's 11
style. Yeah, exactly. Like, what do you got in there? He's got some Brady's in there, or what? So, walking the floor of the National, keeping on the National theme, what's the craziest thing you've seen so far?
You know, I haven't walked around too much because I got this morning, but
yeah.
I think the coolest thing I've seen is just multiple groups of kids in corners ripping open packs together.
Nice.
I had to stop and take a picture because I'm like, that is what it's about.
Right?
Right. The kids over there just having a good time. You got the dads over there like willing and dealing on $1,000 cards. The kids are opening up collector's choice.
Right. Yeah. And they're just happy with whatever they get. Yeah.
You know, I gotta say, there's been more of a kid presence this National than any other National I've been to.
Really?
So that's going in the right direction. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What's the youngest guy you walk up and wants to break with you guys?
Oh, we have money. We have kids who are like, you know, 7, 8 usually is where they come up. And I did a kids break at Tops, and people were like, "Oh, I know you. I know your Mojo break. Like, this is awesome. Like, I watch you all the time." And I'm like, "This is cool. This is rad."
Yeah, and they were pumped. I mean, it was archive signatures, and they were like, you know, they had Alan Nars over there, and he's riling everybody up. Dan's riling everybody up, and these kids are just like stoked, you know, just to get these cards and have the opportunity. So
that's awesome.
And you know, what's great about the National too is I tell people that haven't been here is that, you know, you live your daily life, and your friends, most of us, don't have a clue about sports cards. So you can't talk to them about, "Hey, I just pulled a Trubisky rookie at it." Like, you're gonna be like, "Whatever, dude. You know, who cares, right?" But you're here, and you've got everybody that knows what you're talking about. You know, everybody's under the same roof. You know, you see friends that you haven't seen. You have seen once a year, and you know, it's really speaks a lot about this community that you know, that we're all together and we all share this common bond, and we're here for this hobby. So it's awesome stuff
for sure.
So you had a really interesting poll question that I wanted to get into. You said if you could be the CEO of any card company, who would you choose? And you had Topps, Panini, Beckett, and PSA. And I was actually kind of astounded at the results.
I was too.
So who would you think, without, he didn't see the stats, who would you think people would pick the most?
Oh, I would say, I think the obvious is Topps.
Really? Yeah. Okay. So you would own a manufacturer that had one license.
I always talk about, but Topps is like a tried and true American company with a name that is like similar to Coca-Cola, Chevy, Coca-Cola, Fender, Gibson. Like, they're, it's a strong American company. So you got to put some value on that. And licensing can change.
Yeah,
we've seen it before. I mean, who knows? Maybe Topps gets a football license. It could happen.
Yeah, so the results as of today were Topps at 66%, Panini at 24%, Beckett at 6%, and PSA at 4%. So it was Topps in a landslide, but I was thinking it'd be closer to 50-50.
It's the iconic American brand behind it.
Yeah.
I mean, you think of baseball cards, you ask even people who are not in the industry, they know and heard of Topps.
Yeah.
You say Panini, they're like,
no one knows.
Never heard of it. But if you say Donruss or Fleer, or you say like some of the stuff that we all collected as kids growing up, then they're like, "Oh yeah, I remember that."
Right.
But you just say Panini is a brand, they're like, "I have no idea what you're talking about."
Right.
And then I've done this where I'm all, "Oh, you remember the sticker books you used to get as a kid? Like, you'd get the 1990 baseball book and those stickers that you would get." I'm like, "Those were Panini stickers."
Right.
And you're like, "Oh, I remember doing that."
Right, right. Yeah. People remember it from that, for sure. Well, Chicago, 4 years ago, we were at the VIP party. They had it at Soldier Field, right? So we're all in line trying to get into the Panini VIP party. And just some people from Chicago were walking by. "What are you guys in line for?" "Well, it's the Panini party." They're all, "Y'all in line for some sandwiches?" You know? So it was like, you know, like, "Why are you waiting this long for saying, no, it's trading cards." But, you know, I think that's what you get sometimes with Panini.
Sure.
And so, and no hate on Topps. I was just surprised because and maybe I'm thinking with my hobby business mind, but I'm thinking, you know, Panini's got basketball, they've got football, and, you know, they got the baseball cards. They've got more stuff going on. you know, if I'm working for Tops, I'm only hanging out with baseball players, right? I get a little bit of variety to hang out with Panini. So
I'm with you.
What were your thoughts on that?
I was surprised too. Yeah, kind of come from the same perspective. I thought Panini would have a little bit more of a, especially for the social media age. They're a little bit better digitally.
Yeah.
Panini is. So I thought maybe that poll question would kind of sway that way a little bit, but yeah, I that's good logic actually on Tops.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It totally does. I mean, you talked about the yeah, he's always say some things
once in a while I'll say something that makes sense, but I've been saying that forever though. Yeah. That's like I got a bag and a couple little ideas that come out of the bag and I kind of stick with them. So
wouldn't it be funny if it actually, you know, like when people say they're, I don't know if it happens around, you know, where you live, but like people say I'm gonna go get a Coke, but that just means they're getting a soda. Know what I mean? So like what if somebody was like, I'm gonna go get a Tops, but it just applies to like any card? It hasn't gotten to that yet. Like I'm gonna get a Tops pack, but they just mean any baseball card, you know?
That's right.
So I'm trying there's a couple more things like that. I'm trying to think exactly.
Kleenex.
You
know, as opposed to, what is it, a tissue, I guess?
Yeah. Can I get a Kleenex? I'm going to drive a Tesla. Yeah. That's what they say now, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. I'm going to go spend my time charging a Tesla. So yeah, I actually almost looked into one of those because they've came down in price a little bit, but I'm like, I would have to install a supercharger in my house. They only go like 150 miles, so I'm like, if I ever go to like a Disneyland trip, I'm like, I'm charging it. And
Have you seen the resale value on those things? That's what blew me away.
Are they terrible?
From like new to 2 years old, it's like 40% off, 50% off. It's crazy.
Well, it's like buying a phone. It's like technology based.
Yeah.
Like, of course, like why would I want the old Tesla with the old like software when I can get the new one and it has even more bells and whistles? So I mean, I'm not sold. And I mean, the Tesla is actually right in our backyard.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I would say in the Bay Area, it's almost
50%,
like
50%. Yeah.
No, not quite. Maybe 20%. 20% of the cars like seem like they're Teslas.
Wow.
It's crazy.
And for me, I'm a technology geek. So when I see that big old screen, you know, I'm like, I may want to get one. Because I don't know if I like the design, but I like to have technology in my ride. So right now, you know, and I paid off my car. I got a 2012 Camry. So it's like, this sucks,
yeah, baby.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, so I just upgraded my stereo, which was actually an experience because there was like, you go buying a stereo, I felt like I was like in 1996 all over again buying a stereo. So
did you get it like an Alpine deck or
it is an Alpine deck.
Well, that was like the stuff. Remember that? You go to Best Buy and be like, I want that Alpine right there.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of like a bigger screen and stuff. No CD player, no tape, no nothing. So it's all, you know, plug your phone in or whatever. So
dude, if you could do brakes from your car and your Tesla, you could be like the most green breaker.
Yeah.
You could like totally go that angle with it.
Just eating all vegetables, breaking cars, you know. Yeah, that would be interesting. But yeah, there's a lot of Teslas around where we're at. But so I was like trying to tell the wife, she's like, but your car's paid off. Just, and it's only got like 70,000 miles. So
wife, the voice of reason.
Yeah, exactly. She's a smart one. But she gets to drive the new car. So I'm like, I get to drive this damn car. So. But yep, well, I'm going to ride my Camry to the ground. So
take it. Save it for your kids.
Yeah. But back into the Tops and Panini stuff. You know, Tops has Tops now, and Panini has Panini Instant.
Yep.
And why do you think that Panini, for me, it doesn't seem like Panini Instant really has even come close to Tops now. Do you think it's from a design, or what do you think it is? Or is it marketing?
I can't put my finger on it either. I've tried to figure that out. Like, I don't understand why Panini Instant will not take off.
Yeah.
Like, it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, no one talks about it.
Yeah. I mean, what did Zion's card? Did we get a number on Zion's cards?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, they should have easily sold like 20,000 of them. Right?
It should be the most ever.
Right. Right.
Do you think it has anything to do with them not being able to tie that into group breaks? Or are you tying that into group breaks? Is there anything you can do with that?
You know, we buy the Tops now, and once we get them in, which there's a long waiting period for the autographs. You know, it's like 6 to 8 weeks a lot of the times. We'll put those in our buyback. You know, for me, I think personally, I think the Instant design, I just don't like it.
Well, I was going to say, I'm like, how much do you think the design plays into it? Because I think that is the consensus.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, the Tops Now design, I like it. The Panini Instant design, it just doesn't pop, and it kind of... it kind of looks cheap,
yeah,
to, for a lack of a better term.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's it. I don't know. I can't pinpoint it either.
Yeah, I mean, but I love Panini designs and other stuff. I mean, I love Prism. We were talking about one. I love that. But for some reason, the Instant, it just doesn't, it's it almost like they need to be shiny or something. They want that matte finish kind of type thing, real thin base. And,
well, I think they're trying to get them printed up fast.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually hard to just print up one card at a time. It's probably easier to do, you know, a whole set, 200 card set.
Yeah.
And just do it all in bulk than just to do one card. So
right.
They probably use cheaper card stock, and they use, like, you know, a cheaper, you know, print facility. Well, the same printing facility, but yeah, maybe, you know, just cheaper materials.
I think baseball also lends itself more to, like, the moments in sports.
Right. Yeah.
Because there's more games, right? You do care,
sure,
about, like, the cycle and the,
yeah,
perfect game. You don't care about that stuff as much. Triple doubles and all that stuff, that's normal.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have those,
yeah,
moments as much in sports.
So that's a really good point. Yeah, I mean, a four home run game, make a card, right? Or no hitter, make a card, right?
Right.
Yeah, and maybe that's where they've hit on that nostalgia, is that Topps fans, especially fans of that team, and maybe they even, guys that went to that game going even further, are like, I got to have that card. That's cool. I was there. I was watching it, you know, so.
But yeah, the Living set also has a lot of traction as well. So
that's true.
And that's not usually tied to any specific moment, but people love those.
Yeah.
Maybe,
yeah,
that's why everyone wants to own Topps.
Yeah.
It's all coming together.
Right.
These people aren't watching us, right? They're watching the stage behind us.
Yeah, I think so.
I would hope so.
They can't hear us.
No. Y'all talk louder. So we'll, like, a couple more questions for you. I know you, yeah, haven't even experienced a national, so let loose and run around there. Lonnie Walker, you mentioned as a strong buy. What do you see in Lonnie Walker, and why is he a strong buy?
I watch a lot of NBA. I watched all the Summer League. I watched a lot of the G League. I think he's just one of those guys. His game translates really well to the next level.
Hmm. And was he hurt last year a little bit? I don't remember.
Yeah, he had a little bit of a knee issue early on. Came back 6-8 weeks in, and he looked raw, very,
yeah,
raw. But he's so athletic, and he can do everything. He's going to be the next Kawhi for the Spurs. I'm telling you right now,
wow,
he's going to be the Kawhi.
Nice.
He's that type of guy.
I think for me, I didn't like him because I was like, "What's wrong with his hair?" You know, I'm like, "What is going on?"
You know, you're jealous.
I am.
Doug has a theory. Guys in basketball, like, when they have a crazy hairdo, they don't usually succeed. Alfred Payton.
Josh Jackson. Even though he cut his hair.
But his hair was kind of out of control.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, I wish I would remember all the ones we talked about on that show, but there was quite a few that you went with the hair and they didn't pan out. But I mean, but the beard worked.
The beard works.
You know,
that's true. I'm trying to think of some other guys maybe that did do well with crazy
hair. I mean, Julius Erving back in the day, right? I mean, with the fro. You've got the guy in the Nets, probably still too early to know. What's Jared Allen? Yeah, he's got the big fro.
Yep.
And there's that kid that got drafted this year who has a ridiculous hair. Is it the guy? Not the guy from the Cavs. The guy from the Kobe White.
Oh, Kobe White. Yeah, from North Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's got, like, he was wearing the hat, and it was like on,
yeah,
the, yeah.
He has no shame.
Yeah.
Like, zero shame.
Dude, how long does it take to get that hair ready in the morning? I don't even want to know what it looks like when he wakes up. Like, it must be crazy, dude.
Yeah,
he must have,
sure,
it all in his mouth, face, something, you know, just all over.
I can't imagine. I had long, curly hair in college. Like, my hair is super curly, so when it grows, it, like, it's massive afro.
Yep.
And I hated every second of it.
Yeah, mine kind of grows up as opposed to down myself, so.
Nice.
Now I just take whatever I can grow, really, but So who else did you see in the Summer League that you're like, man, this guy's going to be a beast?
Alexander Walker looked really good. He didn't get to play a lot last year for Virginia Tech, but when he played,
yeah,
he was dominant. Jackson Hayes looked great.
Yeah, he had that monster
New Orleans
dunk.
Man,
yeah,
is going to be so solid. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I went on a bold prediction on the show, and I said that the Pelicans will either be between the third and the sixth seed. So that was,
wow,
really bold, but
that's extremely bold.
Because I'm a Lonzo guy, and we talked about it. I'm still hanging on to Lonzo, and I think that, you know, Lob City over there, maybe with Zion and all those role players.
Be fun.
So, and who else did they get? They lost Julius Randle, but they got a couple pieces too, right?
You know,
in free agency.
I feel a little selfish.
Can't remember.
They get.
They still have Drew Holiday, right?
Yep.
They got Drew Holiday. So, you know, I was looking at the starting five, and I was like, it's not bad. See how it pans out. So.
So Ty, where do you stand on Michael Porter Jr.
That's another one of my favorites.
Are you pro Porter Jr. or you think he might have injury problems his whole career?
So let me preface this by saying that I've spent a lot of money and invested in Michael Porter Jr.
Yes!
I love the guy. I think the guy is an incredible human being. But at some point, you have to play through an injury. Right? If you get hurt a little bit and you
suck it up,
you got to suck it up and go out and prove yourself. I think he's probably got all the talent in the world. He does that. I've seen the guy play many times. So I'm a big fan, but yeah. Invest with caution.
Yeah, he seems like he's on everybody's like hot list.
Yeah.
Like that's number one. You think about who everybody is prospecting, and the name Michael Porter Jr. always comes up.
Yeah, I bought one of his Revolution Galactics. I bought Mojo Prism. So one night I bought like four or five big cards. I was like, I'm all in, because I was telling Dan, and you may know better than this, but I was like, the Nuggets are really good, but they need a face.
They do.
So like, I don't feel like Jamal Murray was the face. You know, he's obviously an amazing player, and
Jokic is not the face.
Yep. I was like, Porter Jr. is the face, and they have a chance of being the first seed. I mean,
you're right?
There's a lot of competition in the West, but they have their core, and if they have, you know, Porter Jr. coming back and playing up to his potential, well, that could be crazy. It could be a Blake Griffin scenario. You know, when he got hurt.
That's true.
And then, you know, exploded into the next year.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely all in on him.
Did you buy it for your own collection, or did you buy it for your repack stuff?
You know, it might eventually go into the repack. You know, we always like buy and we're like, we're going to sell. And then we wind up just hoarding it. You know, it just sits there. So it's like, you know, we like, it's a great deal. We're going to sit on it. And then we're still sitting on it. So
got a lot of Ben Simmons.
Yep. We got a lot of Ben Simmons.
Not a bad spot to be in.
A lot of high end Ben Simmons. Like,
wow.
Higher end than we needed to get.
Yeah, I think one show we bought the Mojo Prism 9.5 for like $6,500. So it's probably too much. But, you know, we're hoping that he only got that big contract. They're one game away from the finals. I know he needs to have a jumper, but we're hoping. Probably lose like $3,000 on that card, but we'll see. You know,
yeah, whatever.
Yeah, another day.
That's right.
So I'm going to steal some of one of your segments because I enjoy it.
Boy.
Is you know, rapid fire. So probably not going to have as great creative questions that you do, but I got a few that I wrote down. So,
okay.
If you could only go to one concert in your life, who would you see?
John Mayer.
Nice. Man,
C-Rad would love that.
C-Rad would hug you.
That is absolutely his favorite.
So talented,
artist.
Man. Yeah. I've seen him a couple times. He's the best guitarist I've ever seen live.
Did you ever get a chance to see him with Chappelle?
He was
touring with Chappelle for a little while. I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago.
I had no idea.
He would like come up and play guitar while Chappelle was like riffing, I guess.
No.
And then it would be like a two-in-one kind of concert deal.
Wow, no, I didn't. That's amazing. Man.
Yeah, it may not have been a tour. It may have been just like two nights or something. But, yeah, so he was telling me about that. And
nice.
And so that's awesome. Yeah, I dig John Mayer. It's awesome.
I would have said Coldplay, but you'd have made fun of me, so I couldn't.
Dan hates Coldplay. I don't know if I hate him, but, you know. So, I like a couple of their jams.
I regret not seeing Alice in Chains when I had the chance. That would have been a band I'd really, really love to see.
Yeah. Are they done?
Original Alice in Chains with Wayne Staley.
Yeah.
They're touring now with a new singer.
Is it the same guy that the
Yeah, it's the same guy.
Okay.
But yeah, I would love to see like the original lineup, Alice in Chains. Pantera would be another one that I would love to go see. I actually sold my ticket to Doug to go. So Doug ended up going.
Yep. I
and,
saw Pantera.
Because I was like, I'm all Pantera tours every year. I'm like, I'll just see him and then.
Tragedy.
Yeah, tragedy.
So. You guys go back that far?
Yeah. Yep. As friends?
Yeah.
Yep. Yes, in high school.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like sophomore year.
Huh?
4 years ago?
Yeah.
30 years ago? No.
Yeah.
What has it been now? 20 years?
Wow, that's cool.
20, yeah, about maybe 20, 21 years?
Well, we graduated in 2000, so it's getting there.
Yeah, it is. It is, man. Time flies. 20-year reunion. I don't know if I'm going. I don't know.
You know. Right. I was 01, so there you go.
Oh, okay. We're close. Do you go to any of your high school reunions?
No.
Yeah. I didn't really. I had Dan, is, you know, and I had my other friend TJ, who works for us now, that... You know, we kind of had our close knit. You know, you had the jocks that I, you know, I played sports, but I didn't like to hang out with some of the jocks. And then you had to, you know, the stoners and the, you know, so we were kind of in the middle of, you know, we weren't quite jocks, weren't quite stoners, so we had our own like little clique, you know. So.
Nice.
But what was my next question here? what's your what's the phrase that people say that you hate the most, that you hear all the time?
It is what it is.
Oh, nice.
That's a good one.
Can't stand it. Yeah. You're all, well, what is it then? Such a blanket statement, just, right?
I'm going to have to remember that. I think I there's a million phrases I can't stand. I think I actually use "it is what it is" a lot.
Yeah, I think you do.
I shouldn't
literally means nothing.
Yeah. Well, I think ours is in regards to somebody like that's mad about a break or something like that. Sure. And then we get all pumped up, and then we like at the end of the day we're like, "It is what it is." You know, like you just deal with it, right? So, you know. So, what's your favorite product of all time, and it could be any sport?
Oh man,
and extra points for I guess a specific year if you had one.
I'll go 2014 Bowman Draft.
Ooh, nice.
Do you know what class that was? Do you know who the top guys were?
2014 Bowman Draft. Is that Meadows?
No.
No. It wasn't Judge, because Judge was 13.
Yep. So you had Schwarber.
Austin Jackson. Yes.
You had Verdugo.
Yep. Okay.
I love that.
And
product.
They had the Asia version that year?
They did. Yep. And that, there's all the controversy around that, because all the stuff was like going to Asia. Yeah, but I loved it. I mean, the class didn't pan out.
Oh, Alex Jackson from the Mariners?
Yep.
I remember everybody was on Alex Jackson.
You had Gatewood. You had some of the top pitchers. Who were the pitchers that year? Like Jose De Leon.
Yep.
Yeah, that was one of the best products ever.
Yeah, you just had to, once you said one, it started triggering.
Right.
Because we've done it since 2010, so you're trying to separate all the different releases. But that was a fun one. Actually, that 14 design I loved.
Yeah, me too.
Because 15 was like... 15. If I had to say, I think 15 was the worst Bowman design. It was the one that they had a lot of border going on. And,
and
you could barely tell the colors and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was Ben Attendee.
That's right.
Brendan Rodgers.
Too much.
Walker Buehler.
Yeah.
Austin Riley.
Yep. Oh, the draft was good.
That was good.
But they printed the hell out of it. I mean, they still Bowman draft around like a lot of it from 15. And because they had the jumbo, they had the super jumbo, they had the regular, and then I think they had Asia that year too.
I thought it was just jumbo and super jumbo.
They had hobby
back then. They had hobby.
Oh. Yeah, they had three different versions. So I remember opening cases and not getting like, and consistently not getting any color and no names. You know, so yeah, that was Swanson. Did you mention Swanson? Yeah, Swanson. Yeah,
that was
Swanson.
A great class.
Yeah. It's funny how Bowman Draft just, you know, comes around. You know, maybe bad at the beginning, but it just comes around, and it's like insane.
I was just talking about 2018 draft the other day.
Yeah.
That to me is an insane product.
Like, yep.
It just keeps going up. So many names in that.
Yep. Yeah, Gorman, Kalanick. I mean, you got sleepers like maybe Swaggerty that could become something. So who's your sleeper out of 18 draft that you'd buy?
I would probably go... I'd probably be a homer, and I'd probably snag a Royals pitcher. I'd probably go like Singer, Brady Singer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And relatively cheap, you never know, right? So, you know, not high on the best.
$5 maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Royals, do you have a favorite Royals card of all time?
Yeah, I do. I have a, funny enough, it's unlicensed. I have a National Treasures jersey card of Alex Gordon after the World Series. That my sons and I still look at every couple months. We just pulled out and like touch it. It's like, this is a
nice.
So cool.
Man, that was one of the best World Series. The Giants, you know, we're Giants fans. The Giants Royals World Series going down to Game 7, Salvador Perez. I mean, it was like just great World Series. And then you guys got the one next year, so it kind of made it better.
It made it a whole lot better.
Yeah, was it Salvador Perez who got out last with the? Was it Gordon on third?
Yeah,
good where everybody was saying that he should have got sent maybe to tie the game, but you know it was like, well, you know, you don't want to get thrown out either.
Yeah, in hindsight, everyone's like, of course you send him. And any other game you would not have sent him. So.
Right.
Yeah. That wasn't Romo that was closing that out, right?
No, it was Bumgarner.
Oh, it was Bumgarner. Oh yeah, that's right.
Bumgarner.
Oh yeah, that's right. He pitched
every game.
He pitched like 73 innings at
Spencer's. Every other day he basically pitched, and it's like, this dude is a machine. He's not.
Yeah, he pretty much won. What up?
Pat Geek.
We got Pat Geek stopping by. Thanks for shooting us. Awesome.
That was pretty close up there.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I don't know if I did a good shave today. So, that was a fun World Series. I mean, I think people across the world that weren't, you know, Giants and Royals fans would probably say it was slow, but, you know, we got seven games. That's
seven games,
you know?
Man. Anytime a World Series goes seven games, it's a treat. It's a treat for everybody. It's good baseball.
And we'll go back to the rapid fire. What's the what's your favorite suite of all time?
Favorite suite? I would go and go Krispy Kreme donuts.
Nice, nice. My wife hates it, but I love it, so I don't go there too often. So, but I did notice that I took my kids there for the first time like 5 months ago, and it was literally they were in the car just going. Like, they were just like, I was like, it was a whole new level of sugar.
Oh, rush. Totally.
It was like, they were cornholios back there. I mean, it was nuts. I'm like, I don't know if I could take them, because I got like 6 different donuts, and we all kind of tried every one, because they'd never been, and, you know, they got their milks and stuff, and it was a nice, you know, before I took them to the sitter, it was like a daddy, you know, my two little girls, and they just, and the little one was only like, maybe like, you know, barely over a year, and she was shoving it in her mouth, and it was just like, literally like, wow, that must have been a lot of sugar for you guys.
That is the definition of American right there.
Yeah, totally, totally. Donuts.
National Donut Day was, what, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And my wife is not even a sweet person. We go to Krispy Kreme. We all get our donuts. We get out, and she's like, man, that's so good. She was cool. You think maybe like I could put a hat on and try to go back and we can all get more? I'm like, what is happening to you?
That is awesome. So between this year's rookie class, if you had to pick one, Kyler or Dwayne Haskins, who are you putting your money on?
Oh, Kyler.
Kyler?
Okay. Not even a question for me.
You're not worried about the size at all?
No, I mean, no.
Yeah. I mean, it's a special – I mean, nobody's ever been drafted first round in both sports, right? So I think John Elway might have been drafted in the second round for baseball, but no, I don't think anybody's ever been drafted in the first round. So,
right.
You know, people want to say about his size, but – to be picked by the A's, 6 overall, and then be picked first overall for the Cardinals, got to be pretty good. You know, I mean, these guys are investing millions of dollars in scouts, right? So
that's it. I mean, I was just going to say that. I think he got coached pretty well to say, you know what, you are good enough to be elite.
Right, right.
And obviously he was good enough to be elite.
And he did, I think, if I remember correctly, didn't he have 1 year watching Johnny in Texas A&M? I think he was on Texas A&M watching Johnny, then transferred and watched Baker. You know what I mean? So, you know, obviously Johnny sucked in the pros, but I mean, watching him perform in college is right. Probably an inspiration for Kyler. So,
yep.
So,
I'm excited.
But that's all we got, man. I won't take up too much of your time. If you want to go ahead and promote what you got going on, tell people where they can find you, find the podcast, find the website, and everything.
Yeah, you can check us out at breakerculture.com. Very simple, one word, analytics, podcast, all that fun stuff we put up there. It wouldn't happen if it weren't for you guys. You guys, your breakers,
about that, but.
All the veterans in the hobby. No, seriously, though. I mean, you guys jump on to interviews and tell your story. That's what it's all about. That's kind of my niche, and analytics are kind of another fun piece of it. But thank you to you guys for doing what you do and allowing me to be a part of it.
Absolutely, man. And I didn't forget about your box. So for your listeners, you know, however you want to give away, I got that box for you.
Cool.
And, you know, we appreciate you. And I'm sorry it took, like, what, 4 or 5 months for me to get you that box. But, you know, I never forget. So
I lost a listener because of that.
Oh, shoot. It's on me, man. You can tell him this video. It was done.
That's right. That's good. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. Right. Thanks for stopping by.
See you. Appreciate it.